Multiverse Musings, a DC Comics podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam. And with me, as always, is Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
Adam, I'm doing so great this morning, dude. Here's one thing. I only got about 5 hours of sleep last night because I was so excited to record this. I literally could not fall asleep last night because we're finally getting to talk about Smallville today. I was so excited. Two things I want to say before we introduce our guest. One, as of this recording, not when it's coming out, but the recording, we are 115 days away from the Batcat wedding. And also, I want to say it is Catwoman Week as of this recording. It's the start of Catwoman Week. The Best of Catwoman Twitter page is doing a whole Catwoman Week challenge. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's Selena Kyle's birthday this week. So that's why we're celebrating. And so I wanted to mention that because I'm very excited about that as well. But right now, my focus is that we are going to be talking Smallville with a very, very special guest today.
Okay, cool. Who's our guest? Don't leave us on suspense. Who's the? Did you get Tom Welling? Probably not.
I did not get Tom Welling, but I swear this guest is great, and I'm just as happy to have this guest here as I would be to have Tom Welling on our podcast, because this is Zach Moore coming on the show from the Always Hold On to Smallville podcast, and this is a podcast that I found fairly recently, but it has immediately become one of my absolute favorite podcasts, just listening to Smallville talk, listening to them go through the series episode by episode, and I love it. Welcome to the show, Zach.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I'm the next best thing to Tom Welling. Unlike Tom Welling, I have worn a Superman costume before, so I have that on him.
Oh, there you go. That's good. That's awesome. Now, is it? Did you have it? Did you have it made, or did you just buy it from a costume, like, you know, Halloween?
Well, you know, I say that. I mean, I had it when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm an adult. Come on, am I going to wear a Superman costume?
Listen, I got my career.
I don't want to be typecast, guys. Come on.
At this point, anything's better than the Walmart t-shirt that they CGI'd the S onto for Tom Welling.
Thank you. I'm convinced that was a t-shirt they just glued the Superman Returns S on.
Yeah, I can guarantee you that. There's no doubt in my mind.
I'm sure we will get heated on this debate when we finally get to season 10, but yeah, I'll say it right now.
We're just 10 months away, so I'm not going to blow the lead like you do.
I think we got time. Yeah, I don't want to jump ahead.
I have no gripes with what they did in the finale whatsoever.
I say I'm not going to jump ahead. I will, just for a second. I think it's very ironic and funny. Well, because, you know, Smallville's kind of had I don't want to call it a resurgence, but a lot more. It was like, you know, after it ended in 2011, nobody really talked about it for a few years. But now with all the DC shows on television and, you know, Supergirl and actors coming back and Tom Welling's back on TV and Smallville's on Hulu, and there's all these retrospectives, you see lots of articles online, right, about Smallville.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, it's the last shot of the show with the shirt rip. It's such a misrepresentation of what the entire series is about.
I guess I was gonna wait to say it, but I'll go ahead and say it now. I feel like here's the reason why, and I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit too, but I want to say it because it does pertain to season one too, because it pertains to the entire series. And the way I've always seen it is the one of the reasons that I have no problem with what they did in the finale is because I never viewed Smallville as a Superman show or a superhero show, even though it evolved into that more so in the later seasons. I always saw it as a show about Clark Kent, about a kid who discovers he has these abilities and is struggling to go through life like any other kid would go through in high school and later in college for 1 year. But But, you know, and I've always seen it about...
Where he took me, one class on about journalism that was taught by an alien.
Brainiac.
To me, the show is always... And this is... I was going to wait... Again, I was going to wait to say this later, but because it, what you were saying sort of leads into this, I'll go ahead and say it. I started watching this show because it's a show about, you know, pre-Superman, Superman. It's about Clark Kent. And so as a huge DC fan, that's what got me into the show. But... very quickly, that's not what I love most about this show. I mean, this show appealed to me on the level of it being this teen romantic drama yes, it happens to be about Clark Kent, but to me, I just got so, immediately, I was so invested in all the characters, I was so wrapped up in everything about the show, and so for me, the things that appeal to me about this show most are not even the Superman mythology, and what has always really stuck out to me about this show is that I'd watch it and I'd think to myself, you know, there would be times when I'd almost be able to forget it was even a Superman show because I loved the characters so much. I loved the interpersonal dynamics between them. I loved, obviously, I'll get into this a lot more, but I'm a huge Lana shipper and I love the Clark Lana relationship so much. Hey, Adam, you knew it was coming when we started talking about Smallville. Yeah, you knew it was coming.
I know that, but I just think that it's not necessarily... Lana and Clark in the first couple seasons. I actually don't mind them in the first few seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the stupid anachronism, the shipper name. I hate. I mean, it sounds like an STD. Lana, Chloe. It's not like that. So, to me, I just hate that aspect of the thing. But continue.
Anyway, I guess all I was really trying to say is that this show appealed to me. I came into the show expecting to like it because I like Superman, and I came in to like it because I'm a huge DC fan, and I was, you know, I came in to like it on that level, and I had no idea how just this show, and I, you know what, I'm gonna save this for a little bit later once I let you guys talk about a little bit about how you guys first got into the show, but so I'll just start and go ahead and say that this show truly did change my life, and I don't say that about really any other show that it really did that for me, but this show changed my life, and it's because I'll get to it. I want to hear your guys' thoughts about how you first got into the show first, and how you and sort of your initial reactions upon, you know, seeing the pilot and everything. So I guess I'll hold off on what I was going to say for a second.
There's a first. You're not going to blow the lead again. It's good. you're learning here. What are we, 28 episodes in? You're finally picking up on how to do this. But Zach, you're the guest. Let's let you do the honors next. How did you get into the show, and what does it mean to you?
So ironically, I did not watch the show off the very top. I didn't even know it was coming out. Smallville is my life now, and I have a podcast about it. It's funny to explain it that way. But I was surfing through the channels one night with my dad, and I saw, hey, that guy's bald, and that guy kind of looks like Superman, and somebody said Smallville, and then it was actually Metamorphosis, the second episode, and I saw like starting like a third of the way through, and I was like, this is a good show, and I gotta look into this. But you know, this is before, you're still paying like, you know, by the minute to use the internet, and you know, this is streaming is in the future, so it took me a while to kind of get up to speed. Then I saw a commercial for a rerun of X-ray or something. And I was like, oh, that's cool. X-ray vision. Okay. And then the first episode I actually saw, like, in first run was Rogue from season one with the cop.
Yeah.
One of the best episodes of season one because it broke the formula of the Freak of the Week. It was a human villain. So So then, obviously, from then I was hooked. I watched every episode, almost every episode. I had a couple of gaps where I got frustrated with the show and didn't watch for a while. I eventually did watch those episodes. I just like took a break because it was like, oh, come on, Smallville. But yeah, I was the same age as Clark on the show when I was growing up. I was a freshman in high school when the show started, so I immediately like, oh man, this could be my life. This is great. So you know, it's kind of life imitates art, art imitates life. You see similarities, and then. And then you kind of like do stuff because the show did stuff, as any good fan does. So and like you said, it changed your life. I mean, I'm sitting here doing a Smallville podcast, which is no small undertaking considering there's 218 episodes of the show. Because we're going through every single episode, and I take breaks, and then I do Superman specials when stuff comes out. Like, if anything Superman-related, like, you know, Superman shows up on Supergirl, we talk about that. Superman's in a new movie, we talk about that. So that kind of breaks up the episode coverage and stuff like that, and keeps it fresh. Do some mailbags and stuff. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun revisiting this show because I didn't plan on it coming back to social media and having this kind of, like, again, not a resurgence, but there's a lot more buzz about Smallville here in 2018 than there was in, like, 2013, for example.
Sure.
And I was like, you know what? I'm sure it's gonna get on social media. It's gonna get on streaming at some point. But I'm gonna start this show with my DVDs. And then, you know, not too long after I started the podcast, it got on Hulu, and that made it really easy for like other people to watch the show, and that really expanded the audience. And I'm really happy to see people are kind of looking back at it now, for a long time, when people will be like, after season like 4 or 5, you start talking about Smallville, like, Smallville, is that still on? You know, and that would be like the reaction to that for the next 10 years. But I'm glad that people are kind of looking back on it a lot more fondly now, and I just really enjoyed it. Like you were saying, Jordan, it's not just about being a Superman show. In fact, the inception of the show, the original premise and concept, like the first, you know, 3 or 4 seasons, it was like, hey, this is Clark Kent in Smallville figuring stuff out. Lex Luthor's around. There's some random Superman things that are going to be around, but we're not doing the Superman story. Now, as the show continued, I would argue it was kind of a victim of its own success, because if to tell a better story, I love Smallville. It's my favorite show. I'm glad there's 10 seasons, but at the same time, I think we can all agree there's a lot of filler in this show. Sure. So had they cut the show in half, told a more concise, like, 5 or 6 seasons, you could have had a really, you know, more straight line show. But there was a lot of stalling, there were a lot of false starts, a lot of backtracking over the years. And it morphed into basically, you know, Justice League Light on TV. Green Arrow became a main character on this show. You know, we got guys like Booster Gold showing up, and like, what's going on here? We got Doomsday, Darkseid. So it really became something else. But it lasted so long that it's not as jarring as it might have been. It had only been like, you know, 3 or 4 seasons and all this schizophrenia. Like, there are kind of different phases of the show over the years, and it kind of gradually turns into one thing and then turns into another. And it's just, yeah, growing up, you know, with the show, you know, starting watching when I was like 14, like this was like a constant in my life for 10 years. And there's not a lot of things, you know, media or just otherwise, like jobs, relationships. I mean, this show has outlasted many things in many people's lives. So it's just one of those great touchstones. And it's a lot of fun to revisit it now retrospectively and having fun looking back on it after it's all said and done. So that's a little slice of what Smallville is and has been and continues to be for me.
Yeah, well, here's my story. I basically, and I think I've told this to Jordan, I don't know, maybe I've said this on the podcast, I have no idea. 28 episodes in, I forgot what I said last week.
Hey, if you're about to tell the story that I think you're going to tell, then yes, you've said it already. But well, go ahead.
Too bad. Strap in.
Ahead.
And it's you're going to hear it again.
Yeah, no, it's a good story. It's a good story.
So I remember it was a Saturday night, and Saturday night in Canada is hockey night, so that's pretty much it. So I'm watching the hockey game, and it's during the commercials, and this was the weirdest commercial for a TV show I've ever seen. It's basically Tom Welling sitting in a chair on the talent set, and basically says, "I'm Tom Welling. Watch my show Smallville on whatever date it was. I think here it aired on a weird day. It was like a Friday or something." And I said, at first I said, "Okay, just whatever." I paid no mind to it, but you know how they do with commercials. Sometimes they repeat the same one twice in the span of like less than a minute. Like, they air them back to back. And I'm like, all right, I was getting impatient. I'm like, all right, get this idiot off my TV. I don't know I just saw this movie. Get this moron off my TV. And then as I'm watching the game, I just, for whatever reason, they came back to me. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. That's Smallville. That's Superman. That's Superman related. And I said, all right, damn it. That commercial worked. That goof sitting in the chair is going to get me to watch the show. And so then I started watching it, and I must have been at the tail end of high school at the time. I think it was my last 2 years when the show started. So I watched it, and I really liked it. Contrary to what some people think on this show, not Jordan, but some listeners, people think I don't like the show. I really love the show. It's just I'm more critical of it than Jordan is. But then again, Jordan's not critical of anything. So except for the Lego Batman movie, but we're not gonna go there. But so I really enjoyed the show, and what I'll say about it is that the idea of it's not a Superman show, it's about Clark Kent growing up and discovering his powers and abilities and his origin and all that. That's true for about 5 seasons. And had the show ended at season 5, I would have gone along with that sentiment. Once you start introducing Lois Lane and the Daily Planet and Doomsday and Darkseid, as we've all said, then to me it becomes a Superman show. And so that's where I differ from Jordan's perspective. Well, one of the ways I differ.
Well, Adam, I'll agree with you. I'll agree with you that it eventually did. And like Zach was saying, I can agree with both you guys that it eventually did morph more so into that. But all I was trying to say was that's certainly not what it was at the beginning. And that's not the part of the show that hooked me from the start. And that's the amazing part for me is that the Superman stuff, I mean, that's why I started watching the show. But that's not why I kept watching. I mean, yes, I probably would have kept watching the show anyway. But that's not what had me just hook, line, and sinker for this show.
Right. And that's a fair comment. Whereas me, like I said, it was the name Smallville that clicked to me that it was Superman related. That's what got me into it. And then my favorite episodes, as you'll discover through this retrospective, are the more mythological centric episodes, like X in the case of this season, like X-Ray is an example where he's gaining some power and that kind of stuff. So those episodes are my favorite. But what I'll say about the show and its lasting impression is it kept Superman alive in not only the greater consciousness of the general population, but for myself as well, at a time when for most of Smallville's 10-year run, the comics weren't very good, the Superman comics. Warner Brothers and DC had no idea what the hell to do with Superman for the majority of Smallville's, Superman on film for the majority of Smallville's run. And if you talk to some, they still have no idea what to do with Superman, depending on who you talk to. It definitely kept Superman alive again, not only for the general public, but for me as well. So that is my little sort of relationship with how I got started with the show and what it means to me. What I think we should do
Hold on. Yeah, well said, Adam. But yeah, I wanted to comment on that a little bit too, if that's cool.
Yeah.
Because I had a very different experience coming into the show than either of you. I think you guys sort of had somewhat similar experiences coming into the show. I came into the show after it had already aired. The whole 10 seasons had already aired. Now I had seen.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I had seen episodes here and there during the show's initial run, but I was young growing up with the show because I was born in 98. So I was young when the show was airing. And so like I'd catch an episode here or there, but I didn't have money as a kid. I could go back and rewatch it was hard for me to catch up. So I'd see an episode here or there. And it's like, I had no idea what I was dropping into, so that's not to say I didn't like them, but so I'd seen episodes here and there, but it wasn't until after the show had already finished airing that I finally dove headfirst into it, started with the pilot. And obviously the reason I started watching the show is because I'm a huge DC fan and I like Superman, as I was saying. And so that's what got me, that's what got me to press play in the first place. But, how would I put it? Here's what got me hooked from the show. And this is why it's my favorite television show of all time. And this is what it really came down to for me is that, yes, the Superman, it being a Superman show is what got me into it, but what got me going was that, what got me hook, line, and sinker hooked on this show is that it's, this is going to sound weird maybe, but this show allowed me to listen. I hated high school. In fact, I left high school after 2 years and went to college early after 2 years. That's how much I hated high school. I grew up in Atlanta. I lived in a big city. This show, in a lot of ways, is sort of like a fantasy wish fulfillment for me, is what it acted like. It allowed me to relive high school in a way I probably would have preferred to have done so. It allowed me to, like, it was like I was going to Smallville High. It was like I was hanging out with Clark and Pete and Chloe and Lana and Whitney. And so it was sort of a...
And Whitney, huh?
And Whitney.
I don't think many people want to hang out with Whitney. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay, maybe not Whitney.
Look, if it wasn't for his father being sick, even Lana would have said, get this jackass out of my life.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Maybe not Whitney, but but yeah, that's what really captured me with this show is getting to feel like I was, you know, reliving high school again, and getting to feel like I was doing it with these characters that I came to love instantly. And I'll tell you, like, I loved the pilot, and I watched the pilot, and I was watching the pilot, and I was like, man, I'm loving this. And I'll tell you the exact moment when the show had me. And as soon as the pilot was over, I'll tell you exactly what I said when the pilot was over. I said, that was the best hour of television I've ever seen in my entire life. And the pilot ends, and of course, there's a scene with Clark and Lana. And there's a song where Everything by Lifehouse
is playing. You're everything.
Yup. And I love that song. It was that scene where I said that's the scene that made me say this is the greatest television hour of television I've ever seen. It was that. I was like, this show has me. I'm completely invested in this relationship. I want to see what happens with Clark and Lana. I'm completely invested in all these characters, in every single one of them. The entire cast, and I mean that's the this show. It's so beautiful because and this is very evident right from the pilot. Is it's this very idyllic small town in Kansas. It's so there's something so peaceful, so calming about the show. Like, this is now the show. Like, if I'm ever like having a bad day, if I ever need if I just want to smile, I'll put on Smallville, because this show just there's something immediately as soon as Save Me starts playing, and it's just. You play that song for me, and that's actually there's a reason for it. I have Save Me as my alarm clock. That's the song I wake up to every morning, and there's a reason for that. It's because you start playing that song, and I immediately, like, my mood changes. I'm automatically like that much happier as soon as I hear that song. This show literally did change my life, and it this show means the world to me.
You know, I gotta say, Jordan, that's not the weirdest thing you've said on the show. I mean, there are so many other weird things that you said on the show. You know, that you enjoy the Catwoman movie, Batman and Robin. That's not what you just said is not weird at all.
Let me speak to that real quick. I know we're going to jump into kind of going through the season, but yeah, I mean, I feel similar the same way, having been, even though I was like in high school at the time watching the show, like it was this kind of idealized version of high school.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, man, you can like see yourself in the situation. Like, and there were some, you know, scenes like, man, this is hashtag too real. You know, that was the time before hashtag. Yeah. But, you know, like where Clark's like standing alone in the hallway, everybody's walking away, and it's like, oh man, that's what it's like, man. Yeah. I mean, like for me, like I joined the newspaper in high school because of Smallville. I ran for band president. I didn't run for class president, but I ran for band president because of Smallville. I lost just like Clark. So I was like, okay, it's cool. He lost. I lost. It's all good.
Did you get attacked by any bees?
No. Yeah, unfortunately, no. I didn't throw a screwdriver into a propane tank and blow up someone's head, which is ridiculous. But little things like that, man. It's like, yeah, like minor things, but they turned into major things. They kind of gave me confidence and stuff like that. So it was a perfect way to put it, like an idealized version of high school. Even though Clark goes through a lot of crap, I don't know if you want his life, but
right. And even though there's stuff that obviously you wouldn't want to get attacked by killer bees or whatever, but. There's something about, I mean, there is something, even despite that, there's something very, comforting and very desirable about Smallville High and about that world. And that's why, as much as I love every single episode of this show, I love every single season of this show. But that's why, for me, in general, my favorite seasons and my favorite episodes are in the early seasons, because that's, it's that aspect of the show that first appealed to me so much. And the high school aspect. And for me, I've heard people say that, like, they don't like the Meteor Freak episodes. They don't like how many of them there are. They think that Smallville doesn't get good until the later seasons, where you get some of the more in-depth, more long-term storylines going on, some of the more serialized storytelling. But for me, I've always said, and I've heard there's one person I've heard say that they were recommending Smallville to someone, and they said, yeah, but just skip the first few seasons and just jump later. And right, I said that's ridiculous. I said that's ridiculous because, I mean,
you wouldn't care what happens in the later seasons.
Exactly. Because the first few seasons, all the Meteor Freak episodes, that's what makes you love these characters. That's what you get 10 seasons of the show. The way you see these characters' journey, the way you are able to get so invested in these characters over the 10 seasons, it's those episodes, those Meteor Freak episodes, where you see these characters and you fall in love with all these characters. That's what makes you care about them so much when the later seasons happen. You need those early seasons to work. Not only that, but they are my favorite seasons personally. But even beyond that, you need them for that very reason.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't like the Meteor Freak aspect, and you know, what I'll say about the Meteor Freaks is, and it sort of leads into our review of the episodes, because they're there for nine times out of ten, it's a Meteor Freak. So what I'll say is, look, while there are certain ones that I really could care less for, there are some of those episodes that are really, really strong. But the idea of skip the first two seasons or the first three, whatever it is, you're gonna be a little bit lost in terms of character development. And like you guys were saying, you won't care about these characters if you haven't seen it from the start.
Exactly. You need that journey.
Look, I know Jordan is the opposite of me. This is why I'll point this out. If you want to actually care and root for the Clark and Lana relationship, you need to watch the first three seasons, because after that, you just want to pull out your hair every time they're on screen. At least I do. But I would disagree with that recommendation. Some of the Meteor Freak stuff is tough to get through, but there are gems in that structure. And what I'll say, I think, leading into our review is that I think that, and you guys can touch on this, and then we'll get into specific episodes in terms of favorites and least favorites. But
sure.
I think the aspect of the Meteor Freaks and that idea makes sense, especially in the first season, given the fact that in the pilot, you see all the meteors fall, and so it makes sense that there's the fragments of the planet. What repercussions would that have on this small town? It makes sense to go this route for the first season, I think.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I agree.
Yeah, the meteor shower. I mean, it covers up Clark's spaceship coming to Earth, which is big. It sets up a weakness for him for the show, because he's Superman. We got to even the scale somehow.
Sure.
And then it sets up an infinite number of villains for him to fight with, you know, mutating teenagers or whoever. Sometimes the pseudoscience of the show is like, okay, I can kind of see that. Other times it's completely ridiculous, and it's like there's no way, just because you got infected with a meteorite, that you can now turn people into ash or something. But we'll get into that.
If you can buy that, look, and my argument is this: if you can buy that Peter Parker gets bit by a radioactive spider and starts running around, you know, with webs coming out of his wrists, and or depending on which continuity you're watching, the webbing, you know, the web shooters. I mean, if you can buy that, then this Meteor Freak stuff shouldn't bother anybody, because it's not that far off in terms of plausibility, right?
So, yeah, I mean, Greg Orkin is very similar to that.
Oh, yeah, he's basically a TV Spider-Man.
He's Bizarro Spider-Man, yeah. but, you know, let's go through some of our favorite episodes and list them off, and then touch on a little bit of what you liked about each specific one as you go, if you want to. But Zach, you're the guest, so we'll start with you.
Well, you know, I look at Metamorphosis in the pilot kind of like a two-part thing. Like, sure. I feel like if I'm going to sit down and watch one, I'm going to watch them both, because although they were filmed months apart, and you actually tell this by, like, a lot of the production, like, Whitney's – well, actually, not just Whitney, but the Smallville letter jackets change The sets were like the Kent Farm and the Torch and the Luther Mansion were like all very like bare bones before they kind of figured it all out.
Sure,
so yeah. It's interesting. This is supposed to take place the next day, and it's like, wait a minute. But yeah, I see it as like this great like two-part pilot. So I love Metamorphosis and the pilot, which has no name. Much like the finale, the pilot has no name. It's just pilot and finale. It's very creative, guys. But
well, there was no other creativity on that Walmart T-shirt,
didn't I? No, but I do love the I love the first two episodes. And you could because although the Meteor Freak, like, he does a little bit in the pilot, like, Clark doesn't like have to fight him or anything.
Right.
So I like how we get that payoff of Clark actually fighting a villain with the kryptonite weakness and the lead and the necklace, and then this, you know, Lex. If you just watch the pilot, Lex's plot line is kind of floating out there, you know, like we just kind of leave him in a field. But then this, the second one, like, picks up on that. Like, he has the necklace. He gives Clark the lead box. So it sets up so much stuff. And you know, you talk about ending with everything of the pilot, you know, ending with The Calling, Wherever You Will Go, another iconic song of the 2000s, yeah. Which is a theme with this show. Like, every song in the show is like the soundtrack of my youth and my life. You know, back in the
it's,
day.
It's amazing.
And every startup band had their song up. They was like, get that song on Smallville.
I have a whole Smallville playlist on my iPhone that I listen to all the time, and they don't have the Talon mix on iTunes, but they have the Metropolis mix and they have the score. So I have both of those, and then I just fill the playlist up with a bunch of my other favorite songs that aren't on the Metropolis mix that were on the show. So I've got a huge Smallville playlist that I love it. I mean, the music on that show is one of the greatest things about this show. Among all the great things about this show is, God, the music's amazing. And absolutely. Yeah, it starts right from the pilot with Everything, which is one of my favorite songs ever.
And that carries through that for like the first season. They use that song multiple times. It's kind of like the love theme of Smallville or whatever. In the first season. The pilot, Metamorphosis, X-Ray, of course, getting his X-Ray vision was huge mythology.
Yeah.
I think it was cool that, you know, most of the time, whenever he gets new power, it's a really great episode, and I'm glad they kind of spaced out him getting power so that they ran out around season six, but that's cool.
It would have been stupid. It would have been, from a storytelling point of view, imagine, you know, let's run through his powers. What's he got? X-Ray vision, heat vision, the freeze breath, the super strength, which they showed right off, you know, sort of quickly.
Super hearing. Super speed,
and then flight, which he did, which they dragged that out until the cows come home. So there's seven. Imagine they did them all in one shot. It would have been seven episodes. And they're like, now what do we do? It's like, all right. You know.
And him discovering them and having to like figure out how to use them best was always great. And then you know, it was interesting. Like whenever like an X-ray, right? Like. He develops the perfect power to fight the Meteor Freak that week.
It's very convenient, but it works. You know, it's just
yeah.
And that's a good thing to touch on, because there's a lot of with the Meteor Freaks, and this is X-Ray is an example of that. Very big name actors that got in their early days were on Smallville. So with Tina Greer, you've got
Lizzie Caplan, yeah.
Lizzie Caplan, yeah, from Now You See Me, and you've got, of course, Lois Lane, Amy Adams, and Craving. Right, yeah.
Oh, I love posting that gif of her like CGI mouth eating the deer when people are like, Amy Adams is in Smallville. Like, I go and I paste it.
I'll just say it right now, the fact that she was in that episode, and C. Jordan, I'm not as much of a hater as you think. That last scene with Lana and Clark.
Yes.
Calm yourself down.
Yes.
Let me finish my sentence before you go into your sick euphoria. Hold on.
Okay. Go on.
They're watching the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah, Looney Tunes. Yeah.
So those two aspects, Amy Adams and that, are the only reasons I for the purpose of this retrospective, are the only reason I'll put up with that episode.
Well, I'll defend Craving for its subplot with Dr. Hamilton, Joe Morton Terminator 2, playing the same role he plays in Everything.
Yeah.
Well, also, then he'd later star again with Amy Adams in the DCEU now.
As Cyborg Dad.
Yeah, Silas Stone.
Yeah. But although Craving is not one of my favorite episodes, people say Rogue is really good.
Yes,
as I mentioned, even though it was the first one I saw, I didn't realize they were breaking the mold at the time. But Clark having to, you know, out, he can't just throw someone 20 feet and solve his problems like he does so much in the show. Let's see, that one. Leech is actually one of my all-time favorites when Clark gets his powers stolen. And it has really one of my favorite, you know, dialogues in the whole show. Because obviously, talking about famous stars again, you got Sean Ashmore.
Iceman
himself. I guess, and the comic book shows.
And Jimmy's brother. Oh dear God! Please don't even.
Jimmy's brother, but yeah. Jimmy's brother is Aaron Ashmore. But anyway, that's the conversation.
No, but I'm gonna say I call just a spoiler because you're not on that you won't be on that season. I call Jimmy on Smallville Fimmy because he wasn't really Jimmy, but.
Oh man, that's its own conversation.
Yeah,
but
we'll get there when we get there.
But yeah, but
it was a brilliant. I'm sorry, that was a brilliant bait and switch.
Of course, you would say that. Yeah, sure.
We will get to that.
We'll get to it. 10 months to this.
But yeah, the end of Leech though, when Clark, he doesn't know if he can get his powers back or anything. All he knows is he has his kryptonite necklace, and he knows he can stop Eric, who had stolen his powers. And at the end, he's like, come on, Clark, if you could do anything in the world, what would you do? And he says, I would stop people like you. And
yes.
Like, Superman. Like, that is like, yes. And that's what he does. You know.
Because he goes out there. He's, I mean, that shows what kind of hero Superman is. Anytime he goes out there without his powers and he's still determined to you know, be the hero and to do the right thing, even though he is at risk. I mean, that's what shows how great a hero he is.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's one of my all-time favorites. It didn't, you know, honestly, like I had a lot of nostalgic and the feels and all that to me. But looking back at it for the podcast, I was like, it wasn't quite as good as I remembered, but I still love it as an episode and what it was saying. You know, as like it's really an examination of Clark and who he is. He's not just his powers. You know, he's more than just his powers, and that's what the show is about, really.
Yeah. And that, I like that, you know, Eric Summers. I like that Eric Summers is one of the meteor freaks that actually comes back later.
Yes. Very good. Yes, because they finally start bringing people back, and then they just ship them away and never be heard from again.
Yeah, and I do like that they brought some of the meteor freaks back later in later seasons.
We talked about Greg Arkin, and he showed up all the way in season 10, and I thought it was brilliant the way they did that, and it really, I mean, we'll get to it in season 10, but the way that honors sort of the history of the show, the way they brought him back, and sort of honors the impact that Clark had on people's lives all the way back in the early seasons, and sort of it's a beautiful, it's a beautiful payoff for that.
Is it just me, or is Greg Arkin, the actor, does he feel like TV's Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, that's about right.
You guys see that?
I see what you're saying.
I can see.
And I always see the actor, like he pops up in commercials all the time. Like he was in a Taco Bell commercial. He was in like a Target commercial for Star Wars a couple years ago. Like I'm glad he's still getting some work. Good for you, Greg Arkin. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, listen, he's getting more frequent work than Tom Welling was. So.
Oh.
Just throw that out there.
But yeah, just to kind of wrap up, I guess my favorites off the top of my head, Nicodemus is obviously a favorite episode. Everybody loves Nicodemus.
Yeah, I'll get there.
For many reasons, but it's just a good episode. And whenever you see characters act out of character, it's fun. And then the last couple episodes of season one, you know, especially Tempest. Tempest is one of my all-time favorite episodes of the show because the whole show had been building, the whole season had been kind of building towards this. And yes, it's not an arc-based season because the early seasons weren't, you know, it's not like season seven where like, oh, it's Veritas or whatever, right? But you know, there were little subplots that all kind of converged at the season finale. You know, you had Chloe and Clark, you had Dr. Hamilton working with Lex, you had Roger Nixon working for Lex, you had the spaceship, you had Whitney and Lana's relationship kind of coming to a head, you know, and all these factors are at play here. And then you have a storm, which is great because it's not, you know, a physical villain Clark has to fight. It's just nature, you know, and I think that was, and I wish they would have done more stuff like that. I know it was very expensive. I think that was one of the reasons they're like, okay, no more natural disasters, guys. That was too expensive. But, it just really felt like an excellent call, like a great payoff to all the buildup of the whole show. And then Lex and Lionel coming to a head, you know, finally at the end of season one. So, and like I say this about every season of Smallville, with a few tweaks, the season finale could have been the series finale almost every year, you know? like if you look at the season one finale, right? You could have Lex kill Lionel. You could have, you know, Clark fly in the tornado and save Lionel.
I was sure that was going to happen. By the way, yeah. Watching that for the first time, I was sure. That was going to be the moment.
I'm like, all right, he's gonna open up season two. He's gonna be flying, and I'm like, and then I watch him like, damn it, he's not flying.
But then you realize, like, once he can fly for the next, you know, well, at the time you thought, okay, maybe it'll last like 5 years. But it's talking about parsing out the powers, like that is the ultimate last level achievement in the video.
I see. I was saying that I was sure that was the moment where Lex was going to let Lionel die.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
That's what I thought was going to happen then. Yeah, I was so convinced that was going to happen.
Well, thematically, like if you're telling a tighter, if this was a Netflix show today, right?
Yeah.
That's what they would have done.
Yeah, he would have died, yeah.
But we would have been robbed so many years of excellent John Glover as Lionel Luther, who one of the best parts of the entire show.
And the way it eventually does play out in season seven was amazing. So I'm totally good with the fact that they waited. But I just wanted to say is when I was watching that for the first time, I was so convinced it was going to happen there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my flyover, so to speak, of all the best episodes that stick out to me in season one. So I'm sure it's very similar to everybody, those are my highlights.
I mean, most of them are, most of them are the same. I'll just comment a little bit on each of them. With the pilot, the way they did that whole, I hesitate to call it this, but the origin, if you will, with the ship landing and the Kents finding him. It was
he didn't find him.
They found us. Yeah, sure. Cool. Yeah. Whichever way you slice it, I thought it was really powerful and really grandiose. You know what I mean? Whereas I think what they did and what they did well was they expanded on the scene from Superman the movie. But again, given the fact that, you know, decades had passed and visual effects, even on TV, were what they were. They made it the word I can use is grandiose, and the overused word of epic comes to mind as well.
It's terrifying. It's intense. You're seeing all the meteors come down. You see the Lang's car get blown up by a meteor.
It's far more powerful than what we saw again in Superman the movie. And I guess, you know, part of that's budget, but when you see Superman the movie, it's very tame, it's very calming. Oh yeah, look, this thing just landed, and there's a little hole in the ground, but it's okay, but this was like, again, a mini natural disaster, or I guess unnatural because it's a spaceship and alien, but I just, the way they did it was just so grand and grand scale, and it was really impressive. The X-ray was fantastic, and look, Clark being a teenager, I liked the effect, the first effect of the X-ray vision where he's looking at Pete, and
you see his muscles, that's crazy. Yeah,
that was cool. That was and
like
it was
body
cool.
work.
Yeah,
because it's like it's very realistic. Because like if that happened to you, that would freak you out. Like it's the way they did it. It's like, man, that would be scary at first to have that power.
Right, and they brought that aspect of it back in Man of Steel in the opening or in the flashback scene, not opening scene.
Yeah, because he had a mix of see-through vision and X-ray vision kind of in the first season here and there, and then they kind of settle in, okay, it's always going to be X-ray all the time.
Yeah, and I think
because they want to do that one scene of him looking in the girls' locker room. It wouldn't have been quite the same if it was just a bunch of skeletons.
No, and let's be honest, it was cool that I think probably the actual X-ray look of it was probably a little cheaper to do, and that's probably why they went with it. But yeah. Let's be honest. If you're a teenager that's, you know, 15, whatever Clark was at the time, and your eyes started doing that, what teenager is not going to peek in the
I like that they made it where like he couldn't control the powers right then.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah. And it happened to him, but he's like, I'm gonna enjoy that. I'm not gonna be a creep and go do it intentionally, but I'm gonna just enjoy this for a second.
Exactly. Whereas in Superman Returns, he purposely lands in front of Lois's house and like, I'm gonna look through the walls and stare at her and her husband, or her and her living husband and my child, which he didn't know then. But I'm gonna purposely do it. And Dean Cain's also Superman also purposely uses X-ray vision to look in on Lois, Whereas this was accidental, but it, you know, it's like accidentally on, it was, it's kind of like that accidentally on purpose where it's, well, since I'm seeing this, I'm going to keep looking. But I, you know, so there was, you know, that aspect of it. I liked, I liked Hourglass as an episode.
Yes.
I don't know if you mentioned it, Zach, but I
oh, I didn't. I liked the moments in Hourglass, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, moments is more than the whole episode. I thought the what's his name, the old guy, Harry, was kind of but the aspect of the woman basically showing us and the way they show Clark's future is the fact that he outlives everybody.
Notice you don't see Lex's tombstone, right? Because it's like a never-ending battle with Lex. I like that. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but if so, good job, guys.
Yeah, no, but it worked.
And tell me if you guys agree about this with Hourglass. That's one of there's a couple episodes in season one. Obviously, all of season one is really. It takes place a lot in Smallville. It really focuses on the small town aspect of it. But that's one episode, and there's another one that I'll mention later that really feels like it keys in on that. Like, there's this scene that always stands out to me where it's Lex and Cassandra, like, out in this, like, garden that always, like, whenever I think about Hourglass, that's the scene that comes to mind.
When he first approaches her, yeah.
When he first approaches her, and there's something so, again, like, that's one of the things that appeals to me so much about early Smallville is just the town, everything about the town, the peacefulness of it. And that's a scene that really stands out to me in terms of that.
I hear what you're saying, because you had, like, these meter freaks' parents who, like, had, like, this one has an antique shop, and this one has a garden, a greenhouse.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, oh, this is a small community here. And then, you know, that you kind of lose that as it gets more generic as the seasons go on. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying for sure.
And so, but I like the fact that the graveyard, it wasn't like this. Like, you didn't get a peek at anything Superman related per se that would have been like, oh, awesome. I can't wait to, you know, for my future to unfold. He was like scared because it's like, I'm going to outlive her. What the hell's going on? You know, it's a freaky thing for somebody to have to see. And then conversely with Lex's vision, you know, the whole President of the United States angle, was cool because, a few years later I'd read, Superman, Batman, Public Enemies, and that would get me back into the actual comic books of it all. So it was a nice sort of foreshadowing of what I'd be reading then.
President Lex is amazing. Like, President Lex is something I am very upset that no one else in live action has done President Lex. It's such an obvious story to do.
Well, I mean, that should have been Batman versus Superman. But, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay it off. They pay it off. Smallville does finally in season 10 when we flash to the future at the very
to end. This year to 2018, guys.
Yeah.
Are you gonna vote for Lex this November?
I'll be honest with you. He can't be worse than your current president. But I'll leave that there.
That's right. Forget Canadians. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forget.
I'll leave that there.
Well, I just like pointing out this is not an election year. I don't know what the math problem was. It's the finale. Like, come on, guys.
They weren't good at math.
One last thing I'll say. I know we're talking about Hourglass. I should have mentioned this, but like when I wanted to convert people to Smallville. You know, when season one came out on DVD, I was, you know, we were friends hanging out, having friends over, and I was like, oh, guys, I gotta show you this. So I put in the DVD for Hourglass, and all I showed them was like the two scenes of like Clark in the graveyard and President Lex. Like, oh man, this show's awesome. You know. And hopefully they didn't tune in to get disappointed when it was just like, who's Lana? What is this? Like, this is not what you showed me.
Yeah.
Bait and switch, you know, because
like, you showed me. Oh, that's funny. That's good, man. That's a good strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I tried doing that with Batman and Robin. There you can.
You could show the Alfred and Bruce scene.
You know, that's true. That's probably the one good scene in that film.
Well, that and the end credits. But we'll get there. The other episode, you know, Jitters I enjoyed with the whole level 3 aspect of it. And, you get a sense of Lionel and his duplicitousness, especially with his own son. And then you start to get a picture of why Lex turns out the way he is. And I think that really starts to get hammered home with this episode. But also, The moment that I love the most about that episode is the end, where Clark is you know, hugging his parents, and then Lex is doing that fake hug with Lionel.
Right.
Oh, and, God, and, yes.
And he's just looking over, and you can sort of see the envy and a bit of jealousy on Lex's part starting to creep
in. That sums up a huge part of their relationship with the show. You know, just the envious of, like, well, not even, you take the Superman stuff completely out of it, right? But Lex is just, and talking, you know, talk to our earlier points, but it's not about that. It's about, like, young people growing up, figuring out who they are. You know, Lex is just jealous that Clark has this, you know, nuclear family unit of true love and affection, and he has, you know, his dad, and it's all for show.
Right.
You know, and like that in scene of Jitters, I mean, that's a key moment. And they put in the opening credits too, like them all hugging and all that stuff. It's such a great moment at the end of that episode.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful way to sort of visually show that contrast that you see throughout a lot of the series between the Kents and the Luthers and those two families. And actually, when I met Michael Rosenbaum at Dragon Con, I got to ask him a little bit about that dynamic, which was really cool for me. I basically asked him, how he thinks Lex would have turned out differently, basically, if he had had loving parents like the Kents instead of Lionel. And he agreed with me that Lex would have turned out very different had he had that sort of loving family that he always wanted. And but it's something that I think it's very evident in Jitters, and I know we won't get to this for six seasons. Well, seven seasons. I know we won't get to this till our season 7 retrospective, but I feel like I should bring it up now because it relates to this scene in Jitters, and as long as I'm thinking about it now, is the scene between Clark and Lex at the graveyard where after Lionel's died. And this is one of my favorite scenes in the whole show. It doesn't have a line of dialogue in the scene, but much like this scene, it very subtly tells you what's going on between the two of them, because the way I've always seen that scene is it sort of like the final payoff of this idea that basically Lex has tried this whole time, or not the whole time, but for so much of the show, he tried to win Jonathan's affection. He tried to win Jonathan's love. I mean, you see that in Lexmas. That's one of the things that in his like idyllic life that he has is he's finally gotten Jonathan's approval. So basically, what you find out is he's in that scene in that scene at the graveyard between Lex and Clark. Basically, the way I've always seen it is this is a moment where Lex is standing there. He's looking at Clark, and this is a moment where not only has Lex not been able to win, first of all, he's never been able to win his own father's approval. He's never been able to get Jonathan's approval. And his own father, who he was never able to get approval from, Lionel, his own father, in the end, he was more of a father to Clark than he ever was to Lex. And so it's this devastating scene where you see Lex, and it's like it feels like this final culmination of this whole relationship and this whole dynamic between the two families and the juxtaposition of the Kents and the Luthers that all began in it began actually really you could see it right from the pilot.
Yeah, but it was
if
really
we're looking at
enough,
in Jitters,
yeah.
it was very key. Yeah. Yeah.
Zero. I mean, Leech. You guys kind of. Or Zach kind of really hit the nail on the head with that, and it really shows that Clark and by extension Superman being Superman has far more to do with just his powers. It's his you know, viewpoint. It's his, you know, why he does what he does. And that episode really keys in on that. So I won't expound on that too much because Zach said it perfectly. I liked Zero because you know, you get a little bit of Lex's past, which is really cool. And
anytime they focus in on Lex, it's going to be a solid episode.
Yeah,
so
but you also see, I think what you see is that I think Lex really did try to not be a product of his father, and I think that is an that is his effort is really evident in season 1. I think they do a good job of showing that if things had worked out differently, you know, Lex could have gone on a different path. What I think Lex and that episode and all the episodes that he was in, you know, that we saw him in season 1, I think you really kind of, for the first time, at least for me, you really sympathize with the Lex Luthor character. And I think that's okay to do in the context of Smallville. Like, I don't want to... Once he gets to Metropolis and becomes, you know, the Lex Luthor that we're used to from the comics, you don't want to be sympathizing with Lex. But in the context of Smallville, they tell the story so well that you can't help yourself.
Yeah, I mean, they tell that's why, in my opinion, Smallville's Lex is the greatest interpretation ever of the character. Now, frankly, Smallville is my favorite interpretation of the Superman mythos in general, overall, but especially with Lex, because they made him a tragic character. They gave him this tragic backstory where you see, over the course of 7 seasons, you see this man's downfall where he has good intentions at the beginning, and he's just, because of factors in his control and factors out of his control, he just makes poor decisions, and he just keeps going further and further on this downward spiral to where we see eventually where he ends up in season 7. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not going to argue with you that Michael Rosenbaum as Lex Luthor is the best iteration of the character. You definitely won't get any argument from me on that. I enjoy Nicodemus. Zach was right in the sense that it's always fun seeing people acting out of character. And to see, you know, Lana break the mold of the, how can I phrase this? The goody two shoes kind of character.
Yeah.
That was cool. And then, you know, kudos to Kristen Crook's body double because she looked great in that.
Exactly. Yeah.
In that scene. I'll leave that there. I don't know if you mentioned it, Zach, but I love, Straight.
Oh yeah, no. Oh man, yeah. I was kind of blown through them fast. I could have listed all 21 episodes of season 1 to some extent. But yeah, Ryan, the whole character, and the fact that he comes back again, season 2 too. Just to see Clark be that, like, the older brother character. Like, that's another aspect of Superman that you don't see a lot in other interpretations. You know, but you see whenever kids get on the show and Clark has to, like, you know, become their older brother figure. Like, it's great. Writing, and then I think Tom Welling really excels at that too.
Yeah, that was one of his best episodes of season 1 from an acting standpoint. But I also loved just the idea that like you see how this kid looks up to him, right? And there's that idea of looking up and being inspired by Superman, and that's on display here, even though he's quote unquote not Superman yet. And look, I know it's different and it's not the same, and I know that people have problems with the CGI, but that's why I like the opening scene in Justice League, because you know Superman interacting with the kids and how they want to ask him all these questions because they're inspired by him. Those kind of scenes will always get to me and be my favorites, despite the horrendous looking mouth. But let's not go there.
Warrior Angel. That's a huge part of the mythology.
And the comic book aspect of it. And it's funny because me as a collector, when Lex is like, oh yeah, I have the whole set. I'm like, yep, I know how that feels like. And then you'd see it, like, it come back around later on. But
Well, and I like in all these fictional universe, there's actually things like comic books and superheroes, because like it's sometimes when you have these fictional worlds, it's like, what? So are there no comic books? Are there no superheroes? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So Warrior Angel, like, it's a very, well, they invented it for the show, and I love how that's part of like the small mythology as much as anything else. Like this little,
and it's a little bit of a prophecy for with Lex and Clark, in the way Warrior Angel and his villain, they were best friends, and then they became bitter enemies, and so it's sort of a parallel to Lex, and not sort of, it is a parallel.
It was written that way, Jordan.
There's no sort of.
But having said that, I would have actually, you know what, if they had published a side, you know, a tie-in comic with the show about Warrior Angel, I would have read it.
Oh, me too.
Now, I'll still read it, but DC, get on that. Get on that.
Get on that.
Get on that shit. Let's go.
Get Brian Q. Miller to do it.
Oh, yeah. Brian Q. Yeah, who wrote the season 11 comic.
Don't get me started. Why, they should never have. I don't know why they stopped the season 11 Smallville comics.
I think it was sales. Okay. I mean, I got every comic.
Okay, look, I get.
It's not my fault.
Look, let me rephrase. I get why they stopped it. Because of sales. But they shouldn't have. God damn it.
Well, yeah. There's so much, I mean, not to be a hater, right? But there's so much garbage comic books out there right now. Yeah. Like, you couldn't, like, cancel one of those.
Well, my thing is...
Let us keep giving Smallville.
My thing is, and I'll go one step further. I would take more Smallvilles than the entirety of the New 52. Or let me rephrase. The entirety of the New 52 Superman run.
Because I would agree with that.
Because that was terrible.
Me and my best friend were at San Diego Comic Con 2011, and we got kind of like caught up in the hype for the New 52, and like I subscribed to like so many of those, you know, and I was like, yeah, man, I'm part of something. This is new number ones. All right, yeah. And then you get about like, you know, a few months in, you're like, oh man, well, like some of these are good, but the Superman especially, they missed the train.
My thing is this: I love the Aquaman. The Aquaman was great.
Oh, Aquaman, yeah. Anything Jeff Johns touches is gold. Yeah, I love Jeff Johns. Yeah. My favorite comic writer.
No, mine too. So Aquaman was great. The Batman stuff was great. Scott Snyder.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Wonder Woman was good.
Wonder
Woman was good. I even liked the Superman Wonder Woman series. But Superman in action, which should be, I'm sorry, look, to me, and I've said this to Jordan, I think I've said this to Jordan, I've said this to somebody. If I'm DC Comics... The four titles that have to be great, in my opinion, are Batman, Detective, Batman. Action, and Superman.
Yeah.
And Justice League, I would say, too.
And Justice League, yeah.
But Justice League was good.
Yeah, Justice League was fine.
And one more I want to throw in that was great in the New 52, just while we're on it. Catwoman was great in the New 52.
I'm shocked that you said that. I fell out of my chair.
I gotta be honest, I never read that one. I did read the Savage Hawkman, and that was a big miscalculation. I thought that was like gonna be the dark horse. So Savage Hawkman.
But you know, I'll counter that. The first arc was good, and then they brought in Rob Liefeld, and it went to shit.
It's hard to remember, but yeah, it's much crap as people pile on the New 52. Like there was a lot of great stuff off the top. Like I was really pleased with my decision for the first year or so, but then when they started changing the teams and just Superman was the big problem. And why did you let's give him a collar and take away his trunks and him and Lois aren't together just for the sake of change.
I still like that suit personally. I dig that.
I like it as an alternate suit. Look,
my thing is I don't get bent out of shape. If the trunks are there, they're there. If they're not, they're not. But my point is, Smallville was better. It was Smallville comics.
Yes, that's the point.
We're better than friggin' both Superman in action.
No question.
And so
the season 11 Smallville comics are phenomenal.
So there's that's my point on that.
We want a Warrior Angel comic book.
Two things I want. Warrior Angel and Smallville season 11 rebirth.
I want to see that Warrior Angel movie they were filming.
Oh God.
I'm not gonna touch that. And then, aside from Stray, my other favorite episode, like everybody's been saying, is Tempest, because everything Zach stated is on point, and Jordan said about the Lex and Lionel on that confrontation, Chloe got the short end of the stick, but that was her destiny from day one.
I love Chloe and Clark. I was a Clark shipper, if you will. I know you hate that.
But that sounds because it's just Clark. It's essentially Clark. Whereas Lois and Clara sound like I said, they sound like STDs.
But yeah, that was the high end of season one was the height of Chloe and Clark together. And I guess let me throw this in there. Crush, actually, that's an honorable mention for me. Yeah. I really do enjoy that episode. Adam Brody before he was famous on.
Oh, Smallville, and that's what I gotta mention. Adam Brody. Okay, now look, I don't care what anybody people can make fun of me. I really don't care. Guilty pleasure show was the OC, right? I admit that. I don't care.
Weren't Jim Gordon and Thea Queen on there?
A DC farm system, if there ever was one.
And so That's my guilty pleasure, but it's worth noting that Adam Brody, who starred in that episode on Smallville, was also would have been the Flash in Justice League Mortal.
Yeah.
So. And that episode of Smallville had Hiro Kanagawa, who died in that episode very brutally at the hands of Justin Gaines, and who also had a very brutal death on a recent episode of Legends of Tomorrow.
But he's been in every so, DC.
He dies in like the X-Files, and he dies all the time.
Well, okay, I sent out a tweet when that happened on Legends, and I said which Hiro Kanagawa DC death was more brutal, him getting hit by the car and crushed on Smallville, or him getting mauled by Gorilla Grodd on Legends of Tomorrow.
Well, I would say Grodd, but he's like the Asian Sean Bean. Like he just
dies. Yes, the Asian Sean, so good.
He dies in it.
Speaking of a principal, though, that's a thing in, like, early Smallville, right? I felt like, yes, it's a joke that high school is just, like, a framework, right? You don't see them in class or anything like that. You see them in gym, and you see them, like, biology class next year and stuff like that. But that's it, shop class, right? But you don't see them in a classroom. So school is just, like, a framework other than being at, like, the torch or something.
Yeah.
But the fact that you, like, had, like, a principal, like, as a recurring character kind of made you feel, like, a little more reality to this. This show.
Yeah, like they were actually in school. That. It's like, oh, yeah. I forgot about this. They're actually still in high school. I missed all this stuff. They're in high school.
I'll always remember the scene where Principal Kwan catches Clark when he's in the pool and he's just looking down at him. And that always cracks me up.
I'm like, well, it was worth it. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? Detention? Big deal.
Yeah.
I would have taken that deal any day of the week. And honorable mention, again, I forgot to mention it, but Zach covered it. It was the Rogue. And I think that was the first time we get a glimpse of Metropolis, right?
In Jitters we do, too.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Yeah.
Briefly.
This is the first one that's pretty much...
Yeah, like, oh, call it Growth of Metropolis, right? Yeah. And they have the S shield on Alexander the Great.
Yeah, which was awesome. The Alexander the Great stuff and in conjunction with Lex Luthor.
I loved that. I'm extremely hit or miss on these Superman call forwards of this show. Like, sometimes I'm like, yes, I love that. And other times I'm like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah. No, but that was one of the greater ones. That was good. That was a good one.
For sure, yeah. Alexander the Great, obviously, is who he's named after, and it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so I... That's my run through of my favorites. Jordan,
I have 21 of them.
Okay, well, can you distill it for God's sake?
I can distill it.
You at least leave off Kinetic, which is the worst episode of the season, in my opinion?
Really? That's it. It's certainly not one of my. It's not one like again. I love every episode, but it's not. It's not. That wouldn't be one of my. Favorite, it would probably be in the bottom half of season one for me. I'm not sure exactly where I would rank if I ranked every episode of season one, but I love Kinetic. I think it's a cool episode with the kryptonite tattoos and seeing really getting a Whitney focused episode. You know, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, they did the one Whitney focused episode and then they wrote him off the show.
And then they're like,
"Wow,
that didn't work.
This isn't gonna work.
Never again."
Hey, well, then they brought him back two more times, so.
Whitney's talking about character arcs, right? He is the prototype for the CW obstacle boyfriend character in all these shows.
Yeah.
Like, he starts out as a jerk, and then he's like, oh, he's the obstacle for the main character to get with the love interest. But, and then over the course of the season, he has, like, an arc, and
I mean,
he becomes
even
a good guy
like
by the end.
Eddie Thawne.
the blonde guy, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, gotta give it to whatever his name is,
Eric Johnson.
That's it. He went on to play Flash Gordon on TV. There you go.
And the critically acclaimed sci-fi original series Flash Gordon. That's correct.
But hey, Krypton looks good. But yes.
Your favorites. Sorry, Jordan.
Yeah. No. You're good. You're good.
Yeah. Keep it going. Your favorites. Let's go. We got a time. Yeah. We're on a time crunch here, Jordan. Let's go.
Hey, well, we started early, so I actually think we're good.
Yeah, but knowing you, you'll derail everything. But
okay, all right, that's fair. You know how I am with Smallville, so that's fair. okay, well, I will say, I guess the way I would do this is there's two episodes in season one that are in my top 20 of the whole show.
Okay.
and those two are Pilot, which is my number two episode of the entire series, and Nicodemus is also in my top 20. So those were the two episodes from season one that are my – those are my two favorite episodes of season one, would be number one, Pilot, and number two, Nicodemus. And, you know, Pilot, I mean, I just – that one I've just – I mean, I've just got a soft spot because it's the episode that made me fall in love with Smallville. I mean, there's some shows I've watched that I wind up loving, and yet when I first get into them, it takes me a few episodes to get hooked. And Smallville is that rare show that just, again, I talked about it earlier, just had me right from the start, and I was just completely, after that, I said it was my favorite hour of television I'd ever seen at that point. And the only reason it's still not my favorite hour of television is because a later episode of Smallville would later top it. But, Yeah, at the time it was, and that's where it started it all, and I mean, it's what got me hooked on the show, and like I said, this show changed my life, so I have to say Pilot. I love Pilot. And then, yeah, Nicodemus also, just because it's an amazing Clark and Lana episode. The scene at the very end when he takes her up to the windmill, and I just love that scene so much. And they're looking out at Metropolis.
It's a beautiful day.
Yes, I love that song. And yeah, that's one of the songs that I have on my Smallville playlist. Mm-hmm.
First mixed CD I ever made.
Was it?
about half of the songs were Smallville. I had Everything. I had The Calling, Wherever You Go, I had Beautiful Day. Like, about half that mixed CD I ever made was Smallville song.
You and Me by Lighthouse also?
No, this is like before that was on the show, I think. This was the summer between season one and season two. I got a CD burner and a portable CD player, and I was like, yeah, I'm listening to my tunes. You know, I had to. So, I said, about half these songs on the CD was Smallville songs. But anyway,
that must be a great CD, Zach. Because
I still have it. I got to put that in the vault.
So. Hey, burn me a copy, man.
Oh, the newest Talon mix.
Yeah.
Talon 2.0.
Oh, my God. Give it to Sam Jones III, and he'll show it on one of the episodes.
Gosh. Product placement Pete, my favorite.
Oh, good. I'm not looking forward to having to cover that. Those episodes with Pete.
Oh, I love Pete. I love Pete.
Of course you do.
But,
Yeah, speaking of that scene though, I always love pointing out how close Metropolis looks. Clearly, that is and they've even admitted, like, yeah, that we didn't do the special effects right. Sorry, Metropolis should be a lot further away because it looks about 20 minutes away from where they're sitting on the windmill, right?
Yeah.
Because I mean, at that point, they were saying it was like 3 hours away, right?
Yes, and then as the series progresses, it gets closer and closer and closer. But yeah. At that point, it was supposed to be pretty far.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't, for me, it doesn't take away from the scene.
Oh, no, no, it's just a fun thing to point out.
Silly continuity errors.
Absolutely. And I love, like, Lana asked Clark, she's like, I didn't do anything embarrassing when I was under the influence of the Nicodemus, did I? And Clark's like, no.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't slip some more of that stuff in her coffee or something.
Grinding the flower grounds of the coffee.
Yeah, but I love that episode, and yeah, I mean, the whole episode, that episode's just so much fun, but it ends with such a sweet moment with Clark and Lana, so I would say definitely that episode's one of my favorites. I know you guys don't seem to like Hothead, but I love Hothead, because that episode, like I said, I love the high school aspect of Smallville so much, and I mean, it's an episode about high school football, and like, I'm not a football fan, but just, you know, watching that episode, it's like there's something really charming about that episode to me, because it focuses on that.
I get what you're saying. I 100% agree about the football aspect, and that's why I have a problem with season four, where he's like, I'm going to play football, and I'm a football star now, because they had they'd done that. They had established that, like, that's not what life is all about for Clark, right? So don't worry about it. We're done. But then they go to season four, like, let's make him cool. I'm like, no. Clark is not supposed to be cool. Again, that's why I like these early seasons where he's just – because I relate to him more when he's not cool. But he's just just trying to fit in. He could be a superstar, but he understands there's more to life than scoring touchdowns, right, as they say in the episode.
Yeah.
And but then going back to that well and having him go do a 180, I didn't like in season four. So I like that aspect of the episode. Yeah. Just the freak of the week, the football coach, like, that's one of the most ridiculous ones. Like, he has kryptonite in his sauna – so he has pyrotechnic powers,
But then you get the awesome scene of Clark locked in the sauna and he can't get out of there.
He gets so weak with the kryptonite in there, writhing around. Although, hey, good on him. Good aim. Throwing the rock through the window, breaking it.
Yeah.
So, look, just, much like you, I love every episode in its own way, but Hothead is near the bottom of my personal.
Yeah, I mean, there's enjoying the season and loving the show, but then there's also realizing that even though I love the show, that episode wasn't very good. I love Batman, but Batman and Robin is shit no matter what you slice it.
Well,
I know you differ, but it's fine.
Will I agree that some Smallville episodes are better than others? Obviously, there's some that
Continue.
There's not a single episode of this show that gets less than an A grade for me.
Wow,
so mean. For me, it's like the scale for Smallville is like A minus to A plus. Okay, so every episode is somewhere in there.
Continue with some of your absolute favorites.
Well, I got to say one more thing about Hothead. Is that that's another one that's got one of my favorite scenes of the entire show, which is Clark and Lana screaming in the field at the very end of the episode. And for a very long time, that was my banner on social media. It was the two of them screaming together. And I just love that. Another really sweet Lana moment that we see as their relationship continues to, you know, well, they don't really have a relationship, but they have a friendship at that point. But, you know, as they bond more and more over the course of the season. And I love that scene. I think it's great. So that scene does, other than the whole football thing, that's another scene that really makes that episode one of my absolute favorites. Mm-hmm. X-Ray, I love. That's another one where I feel like I think you brought it up, Zach, the antique shop, and that's something that makes that episode feel very small towny, and that mm-hmm. I love about that episode. Mm-hmm. And we also get Roger Nixon in that episode. And
yes. Yeah, a great recurring character. See, this and like season one, people ask me, what's your favorite season of Smallville? As I'm rewatching it, you know, for the podcast, my opinion might change, but I usually tell them season one, you know, because it just has the best nostalgic value for me and the best emotional payoff and all that. And these characters created for Smallville, like Roger Nixon, Dr. Hamilton, right? Recurring characters. I like these guys, you know, and they kind of make the DNA of the early show.
Do you think that Dr. Stephen Hamilton was initially intended to be their version of Emil before they ended up bringing him in later? Was that their original intent?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, I don't know that, but I think that. Like, just like Kara, Supergirl, in Season 3, Covenant, was like, either Supergirl. I'm like, oh, we got to get to Supergirl now. Oh, we got to get to Stephen Hamilton now, right? So they did these versions, you know, of characters knowing, quote-unquote, they would never get there, and then they got there.
Here's the thing, because remember, it was a 5-year plan, according to mm-hmm. Go and Mark... or Go and
Mark Millar, yeah.
Yeah, Mark Millar. So, that makes sense, that they try to do a version of these characters. And then they're like, oh, crap, now we've lasted this long, now we're
there. Well, it's been about 5 years. I don't think anyone remembers last time we had Supergirl or Dr. Hamilton on.
Whereas I'm like, damn, Adrian Palicki would have made a good actual Supergirl.
Mm-hmm. But Laura Vandervoort was so good. So
you're not going to get me to argue against Laura Vandervoort because, you know, she was great.
Well, you know, you brought up Roger Nixon. That kind of spun me off on that comment. That last scene between Lex and Roger Nixon, like that. I know it's early episode, but that is like that's like comic book Lex. Yeah, like his maneuvering. Like he's like, oh, come on in. You know, take your money. It's in the bag. And then he's like, of course your bank account's been erased, and as has any record of your existence. I'm like, whoa. Like, and he just shooting pool, having a good time toying with this guy. I'm like, man, that is classic Lex. Oh, I love it.
Every time in the early seasons when you get a taste of that and you get a taste of what Michael Rosenbaum would eventually get to play with and that you know, sinisterness, that manipulativeness, I mean, anytime you get a taste of that in the early seasons, it was always amazing.
Also, I think you just made up two words, but it's cool.
Yeah, I don't think manipulative.
You know,
is a word.
if you would have taken that journalism class in Clark's College, you would have been better off. You would
have. But yeah, little moments like that, though. Like, even though the show is very episodic in the first couple seasons, these little subplots are there. and they tie everything together, like Lex investigating Clark with the car, or Chloe and Clark's kind of budding romance, you know, or the Luther Corp plant, right? All these little things, right? And they're just they sprinkle stuff in throughout these episodes that keep reminding you that they're going on, and there's the ultimate payoff, like we were talking about with Tempest at the end. So you don't need. You don't need like every episode to lead into the next one like it is these days, you know, and there's a place for that in TV shows. But I think episodic TV shows like this get underappreciated because like there's a nice beginning, middle and end to all these episodes. They're very self-contained and fulfilling in that way.
Yeah there's and I think that's another thing that adds some charm to it. There's a charm to the simplistic nature of early Smallville, the very the episodic nature. There's something, it's so simple, it's so and there's something very charming about that to me anyway. And you brought up season one being your favorite season. It's up there for me. It's my third favorite season. I go season two, season seven, season one. But
season
yeah,
seven is second? That's all because of Klaana, isn't it?
It's very much heavier because of that. They're finally happy together. Yes, I love that. But then I will say, I mean, there's a lot that I love about season seven, but just one more thing I'll add. And actually, I wrote into your podcast with a whole defense of season seven, actually.
Yes, at my next mailbag, we will disseminate that, yes.
Oh, it was the last one. The next one, the one that's going to be on your next mailbag is my ranking of my top 20 episodes. But the one you read
soon they're gonna block you from their email inbox.
Oh yeah, that's the one. That's the one that you sent me the 20 episodes, right?
Yeah, I sent you that.
Okay, that's the one I had saved to talk about the next one. Right, gotcha.
The season seven defense was the last mailbag. But the other thing that I'll say about season seven, because there's a lot that I said that I love about season seven. We'll get to that when we talk about season seven. Obviously, I talked about it in your podcast when I wrote in. But one thing that relates to season one about season seven is season seven felt like a return to Smallville's roots in that a lot of it was very centered around the Kent farm. It was very centered around Smallville-centric stories. And it was the last season where we got that before things started being set in Metropolis in season eight. And there's something very like the episode Fierce in season seven feels so much like it could be a season one episode. I mean, obviously you didn't have Kara in season one. But am I wrong about that, do you think? Or do you see what
I'm
saying?
Well, the Kents are gone, so that's a huge hit.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And Lana, she's kind of, like, vengeful and has an evil streak to her.
At that point, I was over Lana.
I don't know.
But just in terms of it being, it's a meteor freak episode.
Yeah, Clark reintroducing Kara to Earth or introducing her to Earth, like, kind of makes you feel like Clark figuring out stuff as well. So I can see that. But yes, there and Freak of the Weeks. And now, remind me, Fierce, what happens in Fierce?
Fierce is the one with the fashion pageant in Smallville.
Oh, Little Miss Sweetcorn. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Well, you know, they're at this festival in Smallville. There's meteor freaks in that episode. Mm-hmm. It feels very. It's very. Season seven feels so nostalgic for me, as it pertains to the early seasons, because it feels Go on. Go on.
No, I said I am looking forward to revisiting season seven because I don't. As I get later and later in the show, I've rewatched them less because back when there was only like three or four seasons, I'd rewatch those all the time. So yeah, that's why I had to be like, which one was that the one with Green Arrow on Venom? No, that was Rage. I bet season four and season seven, I rank those at the bottom for me. So that's why I'm very interested to revisit those on the podcast because everybody online is like, oh man, I love season four. I love season four. I'm like, all right, we'll see.
Season four is at the bottom of my list.
So your favorite episode of season one, Jordan?
Yeah, sorry. No.
You're derailing it. Yeah, see, Jordan derailed. Keep going.
He was right. Hourglass, definitely.
Yeah.
It's an episode that, again, it's another one that feels very small town, Smallville. I like episodes of Smallville that talk about Smallville's history. Like, that's why I love Relic. For one of the reasons I love Relic in season three so much.
Oh, we know why you love Relic.
The other reason.
That's the one where Jor-El is on Earth, right?
No.
Jor-El is Tom Welling and Lana's ancestor is Kristen Crick.
Yeah, That's the one.
Oh yeah, yes. Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Yes, yes. I thought I was thinking you were thinking of when they actually cast. No, you're thinking. No, no, I got you're not thinking of Jor-El.
No,
well,
he was Jor-El.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Okay.
I actually like that episode too, but not because you like it for a different reason than I do.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Yes.
I like it that the cigarette smoking man is the mayor of Smallville.
Oh yeah, from the X-Files. That's right.
The reason I love Relic is because they're basically in season three we were in a Klonoa drought. Okay.
Thank God.
Because after. No, I'm kidding. after season two, after Clark left her and went to Metropolis, then we didn't have them back together until season five. So it's like this was this episode where it was like, yeah, it's not technically Clark and Lana, but it's this episode where we get the two of them and we get so much amazing scenes between Tom Welling and Kristen Crook, even though they're not technically playing Clark and Lana, it felt enough like they were that I love that episode so much.
It fueled fan art on the internet for years, yes.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's still some of it being created as we talk. 90% of it by Jordan. But continue with your favorite episode, Jordan. Season one.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Sorry. I know I got off.
No. I do the same thing on my podcast, though. It's still hard because it's retrospective. Like I just jump all around. Yeah. I feel bad for people who are like watching in order. I'm like, oh, sorry, I spoiled spoilers, everything for you.
Spoilers.
Yeah. No, it's all good. But yeah, okay. So Craving is another favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. One thing that really lifts this scene up is this episode up is the Clark and Lana scene at the end where Clark gives her a happy birthday. Mm-hmm. He takes her in the truck and they watch the Looney Tunes on the screen. And I think that's such a beautiful, Lana scene in that episode. So I love that. I love Jitters. I really like Zoom is in that episode.
Yes, Tony Todd, a really cool guy. Yeah. I met him before. He's a cool guy, and I know him from Star Trek, and he's a big Candyman. I mean, he's a sci-fi horror icon, Tony Todd. So
nice. Yeah.
That voice that's just perfect for it.
And wasn't it disappointing when Zoom takes off his mask and it's not
Tony Todd?
So come on.
But I love Jitters, and I know you've reviewed the Chloe Chronicles on your show that sort of adds some more even to Jitters that sort of adds some more mythology there, I guess.
Yeah, that's Chloe basically following up on the level three stories from this episode, and they actually bring back the actress who played his wife, and I'm like, wow, they actually this is a good follow-up. Unfortunately, we find out that his character died. From the kryptonite poisoning, which sucks, but because he was just a normal guy got caught up in something way beyond him, and that kind of applies to that small town feel, you know, that he used to work for the Kents and now he's working for Luther Corp and blah 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 blah, and interesting bit of trivia: this episode was actually filmed third, but they had to do a lot of reshoots on it, and you notice in some scenes, and I having this knowledge when I watched it back, I'm like, oh, I can see this now, because there's some scenes where like Lana has her necklace on and then she doesn't, and weird stuff like that, so I'm not sure exactly. I mean, the information just isn't out there, but they restructured it a little bit and reshot some stuff.
I'm gonna have to look out for that next time I watch Jitters.
Yeah, yeah. You should read in the Smallville Official Companion season one, available wherever books are sold.
I need to pick all of those up because Craig wrote a couple of them, didn't he?
Craig starts in season four, so I'm looking forward to that one, where I can plug him every time I talk about it. But I'm sure Paul Simpson's a nice guy too, but I know Craig, he's a friend. One last thing I'll say about since you mentioned Jitters again, I love the scene. Well, obviously the party scene's hilarious. Lex shows up and he has like fireworks and there's like all like brings some random woman with them and all that stuff. And then Clark super speeds around, cleans everything up. He's so proud of himself, right? For like 5 seconds, and then he hears the clap, and it's like, oh, busted! And like that kind of stuff is like you were saying from the start, Jordan. That stuff hooked me on the show even more than the Superman stuff. Like just the real, reality of that.
Yeah.
That was so funny. But that's not even the best example of that on the show, in my opinion. The best example is in season five. When they catch Clark and Lana trying to sneak out of the house.
Oh, right, yeah.
And Jonathan is just not having it at all. Oh, man. But yeah, that was a great one in Jitters, definitely. I love, this is not a specific episode, but I do want to bring it up. I love the Lex and Victoria storyline in season one.
Yeah, I love I love everything about it except for the part where the episode, blah, blah, blah. Let me see here. This will be one of my negatives. Shimmer, I think it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Episode 10.
I'm not a fan of that episode, but
really?
The idea of Lex with what's her name, Victoria Hardwick, and all the duplicity that's happening there. That aspect of it, I like it. Just that episode.
Yeah, that's all I love. Okay, all right. I don't know. I love Shimmer, but I totally agree with you on that aspect of their relationship. How it was, how Lex and Victoria, it was like, it was this sort of manipulation back and forth. And I love the scene where Clark tells him that he caught Victoria, like, you know, snooping around on his computer or whatever. And Lex is like, yeah, I know. I'm 10 steps ahead of her already. So I already knew that.
yeah, and then Clark kind of figures out that him, and that's the thing, Lex's role in his life is like showing him how complicated the world can be, you know? Yeah. It's like, what are you still together? He's like, it's complicated, Clark.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love that stuff. I love Zero. Very Lex-centric episode. I love that. I love Nicodemus. I already talked about that scene at the end that I love so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just one of the most purely fun episodes of the whole show. I mean, I know there's certain ones that I really point out as being just, there's some, I mean, this is different. This is not just me saying it's a great episode. This is an episode that in particular is just a blast to watch. Like, it's just so entertaining and just so fun. And that's something I say, that's my defense for why I love Thirst so much. But okay, I say the same thing about...
Let's not go there. Let's not
great episode.
Thirst is going to derail everything. Let's not go there.
Great episode.
As a Chloe fan, I do have a soft spot for Thirst. So.
For Thirst?
I like yeah. I like Chloe in it. Everything else I could...
And Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
And you don't like the Lex Brainiac stuff in that even?
I mean, it's about vampires, so...
I mean, yeah. But that's the fun stuff, guys. That's the vampire stuff. It's so...
You want good, fun vampire stuff? It's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Look at that.
Yeah. Well, that whole episode was an homage to Buffy.
No, it was a farce. But never mind. Continue with your favorite
episode. So season one.
Yeah, season one.
Back to season one. Yeah. I love Stray. For the same reasons that you guys said, I love seeing Clark, mentoring this, you know, having a younger brother and mentoring him. And Ryan, I really took him as a character, and obviously it's really devastating what happens later in the episode titled Ryan.
What do you mean, what happens?
No. Spoilers.
with that one, I mean, I'm assuming anybody listening to this has seen it, but like, with that one, I was like, I was trying to be kind of vague about it.
Look, if they haven't seen it, we just spoiled this. We spoiled the series finale before.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. I guess it doesn't matter. But yeah, I love Stray. I really love that episode, and I love that sort of furthers Clark and Lana too a little bit, where Ryan asks Clark, he's like, do you want me to tell her how she feels about you? And Clark is like, no, I'd rather just find out on my own. And obviously eventually he does, and it's great. But I love that sort of set that up a little bit. Reaper, I love. And that's another one. This is one I was going to point out. It's one that really emphasizes the small towniness of it. It's, you know, they're giving out the food to the elderly people. They're going around Smallville. There's that place that Martha and Clark and Tyler go to. I can't remember what it's called, but you know, the place with the food that they pick up. Mm-hmm. And there's something very. That's another episode that really emphasizes.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll say this about Reaper. It's not a good episode. It's not good at all, in my opinion. But there is like a life lesson in this episode that I always like hold near and dear to myself. And it's when Whitney and Clark are like playing basketball or whatever, And Clark's trying to find out why Whitney hasn't gone and seen his dad. And when he's like, I just don't want to remember him like that, you know. And Clark says, hey, I'll take the man over the memory any day of the week, you know.
Yeah.
And that really stuck with me because my grandfather, last few years of his life, he was in an assisted living place. And I, you know, like, hey, call me cheesy, you know, but I would, like, always think about that when I go and see him, you know, because obviously, like, he was at the end and, you know, starting to, like, just, you know, shut down as you do. I mean, he lived to be 92, so he had a good long life and all that. But obviously, you know, whenever I go and see him, like, you know what, this that's so true, though, you know, because, yeah, even though he, you know, wasn't the man he was back in the day, like, I just enjoyed spending time with him. And that's what matters, you know. Yeah. So, like that little line in this not good episode of Smallville. Just like was a life lesson always stuck to me, and was and just one of those other things just hammered home, like all the non Superman stuff striking such chords with me in this show.
Oh, absolutely. That's really nice, and I think it's a really nice message. Really, it's great when you can take something like that from the show and you know, apply it to your own life and you know take something from it in that way. So yeah, I totally. I mean, obviously, I disagree. I love the episode overall, but. But, you know, definitely I agree with you on that scene. And it's an excellent scene and an excellent message in that episode for sure. Moving on. One question I was going to ask you guys about an episode. Obscura. Do you think the suit that the cop in that episode, the dirty cop in that episode is wearing, was that supposed to be a nod to Doomsday?
I can see why you'd say that, but I think it was just a coincidence because I don't think they were thinking of those terms, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I see the similarity now that you pointed out of Doomsday's original sort of look when he first shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I don't. There's no doubt in my mind that the creators of the show were thinking that far when they did that scene.
Okay, I was always wondering if that was supposed to be a nod to that, but I guess probably not. But yeah, and then I love Tempest too. I mean, great season finale. I mean, just really awesome. It starts the precedent of the season finales for Smallville ending on these awesome cliffhangers, and it's just like, you know, Clark going to save Lana from the tornado, and it's just, oh man, that's such a great episode. And another one that really emphasizes the high school aspect of Smallville, you know, they're going to the
spring
dance.
Formal.
Yeah.
Which is not a thing. I mean, it might be in Kansas, but I was like, I mean, you go to homecoming. I mean, it's the homecoming in early high school years, but you can't go to prom. There's no prom. I think they wanted to do prom and somebody said, hey, they're freshmen. They can't go to prom. Like, well, let's think of something else. They just called it the spring formal.
They always did. I mean, I wouldn't have begrudged them too much if they did, though, because they always mess around with the rules here. I mean, in season one, they're freshmen, and they can all drive. So,
like, well, if they're 15, I give the show the benefit. That's the train, by the stronger, more powerful than locomotive. I live next to a train track.
Oh, we could have used that in the intro. You could have
You know,
that. We'll put it in their intro.
I actually live near a train, too, actually, and it's funny because they basically made a rule that they can't blow the horn anymore on the train where I live because people like made a petition or something, so
well,
they can't do it anymore.
As you can hear, we don't have that here.
That rule doesn't apply where
this is I live in a relatively it's a refurbished old warehouse, and it's been in the warehouse district of Houston, Texas.
Okay.
Where I live. So I'm literally between two rail. railroads.
Oh boy.
So they come by a lot.
Do you get used to it? When they used to do the blowing the horn, like people would come stay over and they'd be like, how do you sleep with that? And it's like, for me, it was like it became a white noise to me. Like I wouldn't even notice when the train.
I mean, I'm a heavy sleeper and I keep odd hours anyway, so it's all good. But I can it's totally, like, if you're a light sleeper and you got to be up a certain time and you try to go to bed a certain time, good luck. So what were we talking about? Prom, all that stuff.
The prom,
right?
Because we were talking about the fact that they could all drive in season
Yeah,
one.
So I, for the benefit of the doubt of the show, I say, you know what, let's just say they're all 15 in season one.
Okay.
And then they're 15, 16, 17, 18. That's the way I look at it. And that way, Jason is not breaking laws by dating Lana when she's 18 in season four. So that's...
Oh, there you go.
Well, he is the villain
that's
of the
good
story.
That's a good point. So can you get a license at 15 in Kansas, I guess, then?
I've heard that, like, in the rural communities, you can, because you want your kids to be able to, like, drive tractors and trucks and, you know, because it's a working, they're working towns and stuff like that. So it's a lot, it's a fanboy justification, obviously, but it makes some
sense. Hey, I'll take it. I mean, it never bothered me, but, you know, I'll take that. If I can get that justification, I'll take it. So I dig that.
I love their cars, by the way. I love Chloe's old red car. I love Pete's blue convertible. Like, they got some cool old town cars in the early days. Absolutely. Before it became product placement. Hey. You know what the mileage is on my Yaris? It's like, ugh.
Lana's like SUV. I think it's a Jeep that she has. Anytime I see one of those on the road, because that's a car that you I actually see fairly often on the road. Not there? Is that what I think about. Well, I at least at the very least I think about Smallville. I'm like, oh, it's Lana. But yeah. So I guess that would answer what my favorite. I guess that took us through season one in terms of what my favorite episodes are.
Cool.
I think between the three of us, we mentioned every single episode except for Cool.
Yeah.
I think that's the only one we didn't mention.
Did we mention – no, I think there's a couple. We didn't mention Hug, did we?
Oh, okay.
I don't think we mentioned Hug.
We will now because we'll go through quick – it won't be as long because – I won't have much to say about the negative episodes because I don't want to talk about them too much.
We didn't talk about Drone either, did we?
Well, we talked about Killer Bees and stuff.
Oh, we did. Yeah. Oh, we referenced it.
So with that in mind, let's do a quick. I mean, it might just be me and Zach. But let's do a quick run through Zach of our least favorite episodes of Smallville. You don't have to go in depth and explain what happens in them. Just tell us, which was the...
Yeah, and this is all off the top of my head. I'm not, like, referencing a list or anything. I didn't, like, oh, these are my favorites and not favorites. But sure. Hothead, not a fan overall. Yeah. Overall.
Yeah.
As we've established, I love the show, right? And there's parts of every show that I like. But I'm just saying, not a fan of that one. Craving, the subplot saves it from being garbage to me. Like, you know, Lex and the whole plot with Dr. Hamilton and talking about, that's a story I saved the people I trust about the meteor shower and how he lost his hair. Great stuff. But fat-sucking vampire, fail. Okay? Just, and it's really,
but
like...
But had they had, like, a message of about, you know, excessively worrying about your weight or
well, they, short... did they, though? No, like, they think they did. They think they did.
They did.
But...
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If they had a message, then maybe I'm like, all
right,
I can.
Oh, yeah. I see your point. Right. Yeah. They just really botched it. Or it's like, hey, look, feel insecure about yourself.
I don't know. But it's Amy Adams. It's awesome.
Well, yeah, now it is in retrospect. But it's just, anyway, that's universally.
So, you know, back then she was so desperate to be associated with something Superman because she loves the character that she's like, fine, I'll take this crap.
Is that what it is? Is she like a really big Superman fan?
Superman. Yeah. She loves Superman.
Oh, I never knew that. That's awesome.
But yeah, if you ask any, like, go to any list anywhere, like, worst 10 episodes of the series, Craving's on it. I don't know if I agree with that, but I do agree it's a very questionable episode.
I will say it always really grosses me out when she bites into the deer and sucks.
Oh, it's disgusting, like, special effect, so too. Nasty. Yeah.
I'll never eat deer meat again, I'll tell you that much.
And then when Clark and Chloe later on go and they look at the deer, I'm like, I was like, I could not go in that room. I would be too grossed out to do that.
It smells bad too. So yeah, I mean, Kinetic is horrible.
Yeah,
Kinetic is probably up to this point of my rewatch. I'm sorry, it's not the worst episode. That's Redux in season two, which was actually filmed in season one, by the way.
Oh.
That's why there's a lot of odd things that don't fit in the overall arc of season two going on in there. So keep an eye out for that next time you watch Redux. But they filmed that after Tempest and before Vortex for some reason that is yet to... reasons have been explained, but it's still confusing me. But anyway, other than that, Kinetic, legit, like, ranking all these episodes, looking at the grades I gave them, like, it's the worst episode. It's a Whitney episode... And it doesn't work, and they realized it didn't work, and they wrote him off the show after this.
Was that the reason they wrote him off the show?
Well, I'm sure it was a factor.
And they brought him back to kill him.
I was under the impression the intention, I mean, I guess I was wrong, I was under the impression the intention was always for him to only be a one-season character.
Well, I mean, he signed a 5-year deal like everybody else.
Oh, really? Okay.
Eric Johnson actually said that. He's like, well, I figured that I wouldn't be around for long, because, you know, everybody wants to see Clark and Lana together, but... But I mean, just because he graduated high school doesn't mean he's going to leave Smallville, see all the rest of these characters for the next 6 years after they graduate high school.
Well, except for Pete.
Oh, God. Pete. But yeah, the dude bros, as I call them, with the kryptonite tattoos, and it's just like just that, just so almost so bad it's good, but not quite. So it's just bad. So that's my take on that. But hey, to your point, Jordan, I did like we saw Whitney's family store adding more to the flavor of the town. Okay, so I'll give it that.
Absolutely. Shimmer, I love that.
Shimmer, not the biggest fan of that one either. I'm with you on that one. Yeah, it was just I don't know. Just he rubbed. Think about this, Adam. He rubbed kryptonite over himself to become naked. Chris. Yeah, so I'm with you on that one for being a bad episode.
That's some crazy ass kinky shit going on there. And
I didn't really. I mean, it's whatever. I didn't really love it that much. And then yeah, Reaper and Drone both. Although like you know, I had the whole story about running for class president. And the whole life lesson I applied to myself from Reaper. But as a 1-2 punch near the end of the season, those are some pretty weak Freak of the Weeks, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much – I think that's pretty much
I will say my list. Drone, I have a fear of bees. So for that episode, that's like the scariest episode of Smallville.
Well, you should have a fear of bees. I mean, they're – that's good. That's healthy.
Hey, I swell up when I get a mosquito bite, so imagine bees. Look, I'm not going to belabor the point. I agree with every one of the episodes you chose as the least favorite. And that's pretty much my exact list, too. And I don't want to relive those too many times other than having to watch them again, which I did. So my contractual obligation to those episodes is done. I'll say I agree with you and leave it at that. Jordan, can you even be part of this portion of the show? Or are you just?
I don't know, because there's only... Yeah, the lowest grade I'd give any episode of this season, but Smallville as a whole.
If you had to pick the one episode you would rewatch the least.
Pick your least favorite of season one.
It'll still be like an A- for me, so it's
fine. It's fine. But just tell us which one you like the least.
Yikes. That's such a tough choice. That is such a tough choice. I mean, I'm leaning towards... Oh, boy.
This is fun.
Yeah, because the internal struggle within Jordan right now is probably...
I mean...
This is taking years
off. I can't do it, guys.
This is taking years off his life.
I can't do it. Can I give you a consolation prize?
We'll see. What is it?
I can tell you one storyline in season one that I wasn't a big font really fond of.
I'll take that. Yeah.
Some constructive criticism. Let's hear it.
Okay. I think actually, Zach, you're going to disagree with me on this. Chloe, I had some issues with Chloe in season
one. Oh, it's on now.
Listen, here's what I'll say. By the very early end of the show, and certainly by the end of the show, like, I came to love Chloe. I think Chloe Sullivan's great. I love Chloe Sullivan. But season one, I had some issues with her. And it all started when she was investigating Clark's adoption in Zero. And I felt that, I understand that she's like a dedicated reporter and all, but it was just this thing where it was like she wasn't backing off. And it was just like, I felt she was being a bad friend in that episode a little bit. And it was just, she started to bug me a little bit in that episode. But where it really came to the head, took head was when I felt like sort of out of nowhere, they established that she had feelings for Clark and that she was like jealous of, you know, his thing for Lana. And so it just, the whole thing with him and with Clark and Chloe towards the end of the season, yes, it's partly that I'm a huge Lana shipper and that I'm biased.
That's 90% of it. Let's be honest.
You are Lana at the end of Crush, like seeing them hold hands, just like get all like upset and storming out. That is you.
But then Clark got her back Ageless.
Forever.
Accelerate. When they're watching the movie and Clark and Lana are holding hands watching a scary movie.
Well, I disagree. Just the fact that it came out of nowhere. I feel like they planted the seeds like from the pilot and an X-ray when X-ray with the paper, or is it Rogue or whichever one where like Lana takes over like the paper for a little bit.
Yeah,
and
I thought that was more just her jealous about the paper rather than.
Well, it was the only thing that she was like. It's the only thing Clark and I do together, and then have you come on this too? Yeah. You know, and like Clark and I are just friends. Oh, me too. Oh, okay. And you're like, oh yeah, not true on either party.
The fact that the fact that Chloe had a thing, had a love for Clark, and wanted to be with him was not out of nowhere. You were just
you're a lot of blinders on.
You were covering your eyes, covering ears, and singing la la la. I'm not listening. And that's why you didn't see it. Otherwise,
even in the pilot.
Stevie Wonder could tell you that Chloe had a thing for Clark. I mean, come on.
Like when Chloe jokes about Clark falling over when he's trying to walk towards Lana and she has the bet with Pete, like that doesn't indicate to me that she has any sort of jealousy there.
But she's not acknowledging that he loves Lana. It was never a question of her not acknowledging that.
It didn't feel like there was any contempt for that, though. At the beginning, and then it all of a sudden turned into she was like really jealous about
it. You were watching a totally different show, my friend.
I think because Clark and Lana had never really had any interaction, she got more jealous the closer they got. Now, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying. Anyway, it did frustrate me, but conversely, because I forgot to mention this earlier, because it's sort of another storyline, and this is a storyline I loved. I love how much Lex ships Klaana in season one. How he's always trying to tell Klaana she's with the wrong guy, and she's like, he's like always trying to help Clark out. He gives him tickets and a limousine.
That would be you if you were rich like Lex. You would have been right in there.
Yeah, he's like
you're not wrong.
Yeah, no, he's his hype man, I should say.
Yeah. Or his wingman, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I even you know, going back to Metamorphosis, he comes in on the scene and he sees Clark staring at Lana. He's like, oh, can't knock your taste in women. So, so many great lines, and all this stuff becomes really creepy now when you realize that Lex marries Lana down the road. So.
Yeah.
You guys can talk about that in a few episodes.
Which was very ill advised, but it is. Ill-advised plot point, but you know what? I'm actually content that we actually got you to admit something that you weren't fond of. So,
okay, all right.
Even though we disagree with you, I'll take that as a win.
You'll take that as a consolation prize for me not having any episodes that I don't dislike or that I don't like.
I'll allow that. I'll accept that.
Hint of negativity is good enough, huh?
Yeah, just some acknowledgement.
All right, that's fair.
Is there anything else you want to do before we wrap things up here? Is there anything, Zach, that you want to bring up?
I think any stray thoughts on season one? I don't know. I just love the season.
You said you wanted to rank. Yeah, you wanted to rank your favorite
meteor freaks.
So that was kind of your idea, Jordan. You want to like jump off on it or?
Okay.
Without again re-talking about the episode because we just did that.
Yes, yeah,
Just tell us.
I know at this point we're on a little bit of a time constraint. So yes, I will be brief.
Just list it.
Well, it's hard because I don't have a list, so now I've got to think back on each one of them. Why don't one of you guys go first and you talk about your favorites while I think about it?
All right, I'll go. Yeah. I like Bug Boy. I like Greg Arkin. I feel like he, you know, being a Spider-Man. You know, kind of guy that was cool. A good, and then him and Clark had a history. You know, they used to be friends.
Yeah.
So I like that. It was some guys came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
This is hard enough. So again, the Freak of the Week. You know, they're more a means to an end to a story than more fully fleshed out characters. Obviously, Tina Greer obviously plays a big role later on as well in Smallville. She comes back and her actions have repercussions. When she comes back. So shape-shifting is always a cool. Every sci-fi fantasy show has a character like that. So that's cool. And then, you know, how giving her super strength allowed her to kind of hold her own with Clark for a little bit when they fight. As far as anybody else, I did like the handshake guys from Hug.
Yes. Yeah.
It makes no sense. Don't get me wrong. It makes no sense. Because they were salesmen. They got hit by a meteorite. And then they could convince people. But I thought seeing how one guy could go one way and one guy could go the other,
yeah.
you know,
And then we get the Lex line in that episode. The our friendship is going to be the, don't worry, Clark, our friendship's going to be the stuff of legend.
Yes,
and that line
just
gives me chills.
That's great. That's a classic Smallville line. And then also the whole confrontation with Lex, like shooting Clark with the machine gun and all that. Of course, he gets amnesia and doesn't remember any of it. But he's like, friendship's a fairy tale, Clark, and all that. That's a great
scene. And during any confrontational scenes later on in the show between Clark and Lex, I would always think back to that moment and hug and just get so sad. You know, it really adds to the tragedy.
Mm-hmm. There are certain scenes in the show where, like, yeah. Oh, man, that makes you really upset that they didn't become stay friends. But about the Freaks of the Week, I love the resolution of it where the two guys finally meet and they, like, do the handshake. And they hear this gunshot and it was the good salesman. He's like, I always was the better salesman. that was a great one-liner when he kills
that
the guy.
That was funny.
And then probably my Adam Brody, Justin, and Crush. Probably just more for the fact that it's Adam Brody. Kind of elevates the material.
Sure.
You could see where he would go on to bigger and better things. And then finally, probably my favorite, honestly, would be Eric from Leech. I feel like he was a pretty three-dimensional character, pretty sympathetic, you know? He's just a teenager. He gets these incredible powers, and he doesn't, you know, doesn't really know how to use them because he doesn't have the guidance of his parents. That's a huge crux of that episode, that the Kents were Clark's, you know, big superpower. And his dad, you know, he has like almost a Lionel-like dad, you know, a degrading, kind of borderline abusive father, like a mother that won't speak up for him and just a frustrated teenager. And he gets these powers and you feel sorry for him. You know, even though he has some bad stuff in the episodes, you really do feel sorry. He feels overwhelmed with all this stuff and his parents aren't there to help him. And that's just a very tragic story for him.
And it sort of makes me think about, like, how fortunate it is that Clark wound up with the Kents, because it's like, if he had a different upbringing, like, maybe he could have turned out, like, you know, he could have been like Eric Summers, and he could have misused his powers that way and not been prepared to handle them and not had the loving parents that the Kents are, you know. It's a similar parallel to the Clark and Lex dynamic with Lionel versus the Kents. So, yeah, definitely, I'm with you there.
So those would be my favorites.
I would agree with pretty much all of those that you said. I would just add Cassandra, the older lady.
Mm.
And I'd even throw, even though he's, I would throw Ryan in there, even though he recurred later on.
That's a good point. I guess I didn't really think about Ryan as a meteor freak, but yeah.
But he kind of was.
So he was a meta-human, as they would say.
Right, yeah. So those would be my inclusions, but otherwise I agree with you. Jordan, does that help you out? Or?
Yeah, definitely. I now that you guys have said it and I've had a chance to think about it a little bit, I think I've got my it's not in order necessarily, but I've got some favorites. Jeremy Creek in the pilot, just because I have so much fondness for the pilot, and so, like, you know, I really like it all started with him. He was the first one. There's something special about that.
Sure.
Greg Orkin, because I love, I mean, even more so than I just love him Metamorphosis, which I do, it's that he comes back later, and I love the way in which he comes back, and how he basically shows Clark, he basically shows Clark and Lois, I think, how much Clark has done for these people, and how he's, you know, helped him be a better person. And he was a meteor freak who went on to live a normal life. And he, you know, so I like Greg Arkin. I love Walt Arnold, the hot head coach. I know you guys aren't with me on that one, but I love him and I love.
I just got to cut in here. He's just listing them all in order, Adam.
Yeah, because I haven't ordered them. So I'm going in order.
So
I'm going in order
20,
of when they appear.
So you love Tina Greer's next. Okay, go on.
Well, yeah, I do love Tina Greer. I do love Sean Kelvin, but I wasn't going to name him, but I do love it. As long as now I'm thinking about it episode by episode, I do love him too.
we didn't talk much about Cool, but I do want to say, like, I feel like we could have brought him back. A lot of people think he's dead.
Yeah, they could
have. I don't think he's dead. He just got frozen in the lake, and you just got to put him under a warm blanket. I know he was kind of a one-note guy, but I mean, in later seasons, when they started to bring characters back, people would be like, oh, well, who else can we bring back? And, like, he would be one that came up a lot, but they just never brought him back. So.
Yeah, I would have been down to see him because, I liked him. I like Cassandra Carver too.
Yeah.
I like Jodie Melville, but mostly just because she's Amy Adams.
Mm-hmm.
I love Bob Rickman and Kyle Tippett and Hug, and you know, you talked about.
Hey, we finally skipped some episodes. Yay!
He'll circle back.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot these guys. Yeah.
I do love Eric Summers because he's another one that comes back. So I also love the parallel with him and Clark and seeing, you know, what it could have been, like I talked about, like what it could have been with if Clark had a similar upbringing to him. Ryan, of course. I mean, just a really tragic story with Ryan, but getting to see Clark have a little brother and seeing that relationship, love it. Tyler Randall in Reaper. I mean, I know, Zach, you're definitely going to disagree with me on him, but I thought his power was really interesting. And, you know, he was doing this awful thing, but like he the way he was justifying it to himself, it was very fascinating and intriguing to me. So I like him. I guess those would be my favorites.
All right. Well done.
Well, you didn't list every single one, so that's progress.
Yeah, well done. Like I said, I'll take little morsels here, little morsels of, you know. I'm trying to get Jordan to be more discerning in terms of criticisms of things that.
No, that's good. That's refreshing, man. Like, you hold on to that. You hold on to your optimism. Like, sometimes I feel like I come off as negative on the podcast when I'm like, hey, man, I'm only nitpicking stuff to death. But it all comes from a place of love.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that because, you know, I love this show so much, and I try to look at everything with a half a glass half full mentality.
My thing is whatever got you into Superman is a good thing anyway. So, and I say that about everybody, even though you know, and I say that about Batman too. Like, so if somebody's first exposure to Batman is Batman and Robin, I say God help them. But if they liked it, yeah, I'm glad for them. Do you guys want to grade the season or like overall?
Sure.
Do you want to give it?
Sure.
All right, Eric. What's your
Eric?
I thought Eric Summers. I had Eric Summers on the brain. The brain part.
What do we do around here? Do we do letters or numbers?
Do letter grade. Yeah.
All right.
It took me the longest time to get Adam sold on letter grades.
It had nothing to do with you. Let me just clarify.
Oh yeah, it was because Mario.
Because I do articles for Revenge of the Fans. They do letter grades over there, mm-hmm. So I had to adapt to the letter grade structure. So there it is. But that was the reason. It had nothing to do with you. Zach, go ahead and give us your letter grade for the season.
I'm gonna give season one of Smallville an A-. I feel like it's nostalgically, it's probably my favorite season. There are some really high highs, there are some low lows, but there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of heart, you know, and I think that's what separates Smallville from a lot of other just, you know, generic superhero TV shows. There's a lot of heart throughout this whole season, especially. I love it. Laid the great foundation, the relationships between Lex and Clark, which is like the Kents and the Luthers, right? That is the core of this whole show, and that is foundations laid here. Clark and Lana, you know, I love them in this season, even though I'm a Chloe and Clark guy, especially because of this season. But the first couple seasons of Smallville, I'm on board with Clark and Lana. It's when we get past 3 and 4 and 5 and all that, and it just kind of gets played out, you know. But that's still fresh and all that stuff here, all the high school stuff, all the small town stuff, and I just love revisit. Like, if I'm gonna revisit episodes, they're gonna be from these early seasons, probably season one, and that's why I'm gonna give it an A-.
Yeah, I'm like I said, the show really sort of got me back into the superhero world, specifically with Superman and DC. So I love it. For that reason, especially season one, because that's when I restarted my love of this mythology. I did like Lana and Clark back in the day in these early seasons, the first three, and then it all went down from there. But I enjoyed them in these early seasons. You know, the Lex and Clark dynamic early on was great. They did some things where they told you, the show is able to tell you why the character of Superman is so special, and it goes beyond his abilities. And in those episodes, I was, you know, those were really, as a fan of the character before Smallville, I really appreciated the fact that season one was able to do that without having the advantage of him being Superman. There's a lot to, you know, yes, there are some there are some horrendous episodes, and I rattled some of them, or, you know, Zach and I rattled some of them off that we didn't like. But when it was great, it was great, season one. And more often than not, I was really happy at the end of each episode. So I'm going to echo your A- grade.
Awesome.
All right. I think you guys know what's coming. But I'm going to give this season of Smallville an A+.
Of course you are.
Like I said... Smallville is my favorite TV show of all time, and this is one of my absolute favorite seasons of Smallville. So I love this season. And for a lot of the reasons you guys mentioned, obviously I love, even though Clark and Lana weren't together in the season, I love that it did build up to that relationship that we'd eventually see come to a culmination in season two, at the end of season two. I love that. I love the small towniness of it. I love the high school teen romantic drama aspect of it. I love the Lex Luthor, obviously seeing you know, the beginning of his path to his long 7-season path that they did such an amazing job with, to him really becoming Clark's greatest enemy, but starting out as his friend. It all started here in season one. As I said, this show had such a profound impact on my life. It really did change my life, and it all started here in season one. That's where it started. That's where I fell in love with this show. That's what hooked me, and I love it to death. I can't praise it enough. A+, hands down.
Awesome. Zach, thanks for I want to thank you for coming on and sort of launching us into our Smallville retrospective, and being the first guest on this journey that we're going through here on the show.
No, absolutely. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I'm past season one now, my wife, so it's always fun to kind of look back a little bit and talk a little more season one. So
speaking of that, plug your stuff, plug your podcast.
Oh, absolutely. As we talked about earlier, I am a host of a Smallville podcast called Always Hold On to Smallville. And we talk about each and every episode of the show. We have some Superman specials here and there to break stuff up, but we go pretty in depth with every episode and give it a grade. I have a series tally board I do at the end of every episode. We talk about stuff like Kent truck accidents and hospital visits and amnesia. So it's a lot of fun to keep track of this stuff because there are some tropes that come up again and again on this show.
Lana kills now.
That's, yeah. Recent, my friend Matt Trix wanted to add that. She's at one so far. I don't know how many we're gonna get. But you know, but I'm curious to see. So, but yeah, so we're in early season three right now, at the time of this recording, and we're gonna just keep on going for the next 7.5 seasons. So you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S, or Facebook at Always Holding On to Smallville, and you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with one S.
And for what it's worth, that podcast gets an A+ from me. I love your show, Zach, and I highly recommend to all of our listeners that if you're not listening to that show, you need to check out that show because it's amazing.
I appreciate that.
And that's you one bet. That's one rating I'll actually agree with you on. You won't get it. you made me aware of the show, Jordan, and then I started listening because I knew we were going to have him on. So I said, well, I should at least.
let me see if you're gonna let this guy on or not.
It's got nothing to do, nothing against you. I always like to vet the people that Jordan brings on because I'm like, what do I have to prepare myself for here? Am I gonna be like in the asylum? Is it somebody like Jordan who loves everything, or are we gonna get a critical voice, or what's it gonna be? Am I gonna be the lone? But no, it is a great podcast, and I definitely recommend adding it to your queue. Since you already did the social media plug, Jordan, that leads me to you. Where can people discuss more Smallville with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I am always down to talk Smallville. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at BatFanJordanV. I also want to solicit some more iTunes reviews, so if you like what you're hearing from us, we'd love to hear from you in the form of an iTunes review. It would help us out a lot. And we are also a proud member of the Batman Podcast Network. If you want to check out other Bat-tastic Batman-related podcasts, you can go to BatmanPodcastNetwork.com. As always, big thanks to Batman on Film for hosting that.
And if you want to chat with me on social media about Smallville, specifically the arrival of Lois Lane and the demise of Klaana, you can do that. You knew it was, coming. You can do that at Superhero Sci-Fi and post lots of gifts of Lois and Clark to Jordan.
And send Adam gifts of thirst.
It's okay. The mute and the block button is strong, so I'm good. If you do that, go ahead. But that'll wrap up our first installment. We'll be back next week with our normal episode, and we will continue this Smallville retrospective with season 2. If you want to follow along, and that'll be in about a month's time, so you have some time to watch the next season of episodes. Until then, we hope you have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful week ahead. So long, everybody.
Klaana forever. Bye bye.